This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, not a whole lot of fresh news in the market trade on Thursday, and that caused us to mostly drift around throughout grains and livestock as traders keep one eye on Monday's upcoming USDA WASDE report and the other eye on the broader recessionary and macro market concerns that remain. Welcome into Market Talk. Appreciate you joining us once again here today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and really a lot to discuss on the show today as we dive into the markets and talk about issues impacting rural America. Again, overall, not a whole lot of fresh news in the market trade on Thursday, but we do have, of course, again, that WASDE report coming up for the month of September on Monday, and watching just this broader macro picture as well. And we see recessionary fears still out there globally. A lot of things to really take a peek at. We're going to talk about it coming up with Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing. He's going to join us here later in the show. Also coming up here today, we're going to listen into a conversation I had from the Farm Progress Show last week with co-founder of Farmers Business Network, Charles Barron. Really good in-depth conversation about the ag industry. That's coming up here in segment two as well. But first up here on the show, again, markets really just kind of drifted around on Thursday. Not a whole lot of news to drive us really one way or another. I talked with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, around midday on Thursday. Got Arlen's thoughts on what was happening in the trade. We talk about the crude oil market, which fell to its lowest level since January in the overnight session. Talk a little bit about livestock and start with grains and just talk about this lack of news to really drive the market. Here's what Arlen had to say about the grain trade on Thursday.
I would agree with you. I think we are kind of drifting and marking time ahead of Monday's USDA crop report. When USDA is expected to lower its corn yield but kind of hold the line on its soybean yield, as we look at this market, it's worried about recession, worried about soft demand going forward because of recession. So it's been really hard to bring the fund managers in here to extend ownership. We see wheat slipping back into its longer-term trading range, sideways trading range following yesterday's rally. We see corn kind of pulling back from recent gains while soybeans are consolidating weaker in an overall tone that's been weaker now for several weeks.
Arlen, with that report coming up Monday, especially on the corn side, what kind of a number would it take from USDA, do you think, to really give this corn market some bullish momentum and a potential breakout to the upside? Is it going to be a 170? Is it a 172? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think generally we find support below 173, depending on what other headlines are going on at the time. Also depends on what USDA does with demand. Ultimately, it's the ending stocks that really affect the trade. But I think particularly if we drop to 172 or lower, it starts to get energy because the trade will assume small crops get smaller. And so they're going to say, okay, now it's a 173 or 172. That opens the door for the possibility of it slipping below 170 and require more rationing. So the shorts become very nervous, and that provides support for the market.
Arlen, crude oil doing its best to rebound off lows seen in the overnight. I believe it's the lowest we've seen since January. What's kind of the tone in this crude oil market here as we're working towards the end of the week?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that we've taken the war premium out of the crude oil market and many of the commodities overall. It's as if it didn't exist. And a lot of its momentum and charts that we're trading right now and fear is a powerful factor in the markets. But they're trading differently than what they used to. I think today is mostly a bounce. We did go to the lowest level since January, as you indicated. And RBOB gasoline prices did the same thing yesterday, and we're trying to bounce from that. So I'd call this more of a technical bounce at this point, as we just kind of try to monitor. And ultimately, we got to see how we get through the winter in Europe. I saw my first forecast for Europe for the winter months this morning, calling for below normal temperatures in Western Europe, which will increase energy requirements for people staying warm.
And Arlen, real quick as well, livestock trade fairly lower today. Feels like the livestock market also kind of drifting underneath the broader scope of what's going on in the commodities here this week.
Yeah, it really is. As we look at cash cattle trade this morning, starting to open up in Kansas and Texas, about 141, 142 to 146 in the north. Basically call that steady in the south, maybe a little bit lower in the north. That's disappointing from where we thought we would see it earlier in the week. And as a result, we're seeing a little weaker tone on the board. Feeder cattle prices, though, liking the lower corn prices this morning and showing some modest gains.
And again, that's comments and analysis from midday on Thursday with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. In news of agriculture here today, Farm Futures recently surveyed hundreds of farmers about their 2023 planting intentions, and corn looks like a winner next year. Jackie Holland is a grain marketing analyst for Farm Futures and says farmers will be planting a lot of corn next year.
Our survey found that farmers expect to plant 94.3 million acres of corn next spring. That is a 5% increase from the current acreage estimates USDA has on the books right now. And if it holds true, it would also be the largest corn acreage planted in the U.S. since 95.4 million acres were planted in 2013. For soybeans, we're expecting farmers to plant 87.3 million acres next year. That's nearly a 1% decrease from this year's acreage. And a big reason that we're going to see smaller soybean acreage is that cotton acreage in the Mississippi Delta is likely going to provide some really stiff competition against those soybean acres.
One surprising result from the survey is how much wheat acres are expected to rise in 2023.
We're also forecasting that wheat acreage will rise for another year, and that's largely due because of increased winter wheat acreage in the eastern Corn Belt. We are expecting farmers to plant 36.6 million acres of winter wheat next year, and they'll pare back spring wheat sowings, which we expect to be 12.3 million acres for a grand total of 48.8 million acres of wheat to be planted next year.
And the emphasis on corn is a little surprising because soybeans tried hard to overtake corn in the spring of this year.
We saw a lot of price responsiveness to the higher fertilizer prices last year. And when farmers were making their decisions about 22 acreage last December, soybean prices were rallying really nicely. But with all of the issues we've seen with corn flows in the Black Sea this year, as well as the struggles that the U.S. corn crop has faced, corn is really kind of facing some bullish prospects as we look to the 2023 planting season.
And again, that's Jackie Holland of Farm Futures. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Charles Barron, co-founder of Farmers Business Network, as I spoke with him during the Farm Progress Show last week. That's coming up next as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Thanks for joining us once again today. As we look back at the Farm Progress Show, another one of the great conversations I had during the show was with one of the co-founders of Farmers Business Network, FBN, Charles Barron. We talked about a host of topics surrounding agriculture. Here is that interview.
Give us a refresher on what FBN is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, so FBN is a network of growers, and, you know, first and foremost, we got created to give growers more transparency, more power, more leverage, and more control in the farm economy. We started as a data analytics network 8 years ago, and it's turned into a full platform that you can use to run the farm digitally, online, or in person. And so that includes everything from buying inputs like crop protection and seed online to now farm financing, lending, getting operating lines, land loans, crop insurance, livestock insurance, health insurance, sustainability programs, of course, data. And there's probably fewer things I'm forgetting, but basically, if you need it to run the farm, we are building technology to enable you to do it and to do it in a way that's more profitable for the farm based on our network, based on our information. And it's grown well over 48,000 members around the U.S., Canada, and Australia, over 100 million acres of farms represented, every crop, every state. And we've built a truly world-class logistics infrastructure to be able to get farm products to farms quickly from their online purchases, which includes now 32 warehouses around the U.S. and Canada to give as close to next day delivery as we can provide.
A lot of fantastic stuff that you mentioned there, and you guys really have just kind of grown and exploded this company here in the last few years. Let's talk about a few things, though, Charles. I think for starters, crop inputs, I know that a lot of farmers are discussing that right now. A lot of worry around, what's the cost going to be as we get into 2023 and beyond with all the different world issues that are out there. So, as you look at crop inputs, is that something you're hearing from growers? Is that maybe one of the top one, two concerns right now out there in farm country?
Oh, absolutely. Input prices, inflation, where's the market going to be? Those are the big ones right now. And input prices, fertilizer has obviously been the most egregious in terms of the extreme prices and shocks to the system. Crop protection had very high price swings this year. We were not immune to that. The global supply chain really got shocked when you had China, you had ports issues, you had hurricanes knocking plants offline. It was a perfect storm this year. We still see several key molecules and big chem products staying relatively high on the prices. Some we expect to, be volatile and move around a bit with the global market. And then you have some others that, come out of Europe and that are heavily driven by energy costs in Europe, which are now getting driven by the war in Ukraine. And we expect those to go up. So that outlook, notwithstanding, what FBN always does is tries to make sure that growers have as much visibility as to what's happening as possible. And then our prices are always straight on the site. A lot of growers got stuck into programs last year where they'd get, say, hey, put down cash and we'll tell you the price when the product shows up. You always can see the price in the FBN system, though it gives growers as much certainty and predictability as we've got on the market so they can make the best decision.
Well, you mentioned inflation as well, and I know that ties in with the cost of inputs, but obviously it's hitting all sectors of agriculture. It's hitting, our livestock, ranchers, everything there. It's hitting consumers at home. It's hitting the economy in general. What is your perspective on that from the FBN side when we look at inflation? Because obviously it's something that we're trying to fight it, or we're looking at it, but it's something that it feels like it's still got a little ways to go before we hopefully work it out of our system.
Yeah, I think there's probably, more aggressive action that, could be coming from the Fed. We saw that this week. We saw the way the stock market reacted. Interest rate environment being what it is, highly advantageous for your growers probably to take advantage of interest rates early because there seems to be continual pressure there. But I think there were moments actually where inflation did benefit farms. You had moments where the price of corn was reacting to that and had gotten ahead of input prices. And now all those things are catching up as they work their way through the system. And so, inflation just creates a system where it becomes very hard to predict and you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of it. It can have some benefits because commodities are pretty highly pegged, to inflation. But what farmers need is consistency and predictability. And so, if you can contract grain and lock in a price right now, if you have to go buy inputs, contract some grain, lock in your margin. Don't leave yourself exposed right now.
And I've been hearing a lot of those conversations as well from growers looking at locking in some of those margins for 2023 because, I mean, let's face it, Charles, you know, 550-ish on the board for a new crop, 23, you lock some of that in, you lock in your cost of inputs, you can manage that margin then when you know those prices. So I think, you know, it's something that we don't normally see from growers necessarily, but we're starting to hear a lot more of those conversations.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You have to, at the end of the day, you have to say, am I raising corn or am I farming margin? And at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're trying to run a profitable business. The more certainty you can give yourself or give yourself any certainty, the more you can manage. So control what you can control. When the world has got so many factors going on that are volatile or creating lack of control, then control what you can. And you can do that by forward pricing. You can do that by locking in financing. You can do that by locking in, input costs. COVID had created this moment that was historic, utterly historic for refinancing. And many farms took advantage of that and are now reaping the benefits of low interest rates that they were able to capture. So when you see those opportunities to lock in a structural advantage in the farm, do it. And, you know, those are the kinds of programs and products that we want to be able to bring out to growers early.
Charles, we talked about a few things that are, you know, possibly worries on the farm and in throughout agriculture right now. What's something you're excited about in ag and with FBN moving into this fall and into 2023?
Well, one of the things I'm always excited about is trying to make the business of farming easier. And that's really behind a lot of what we do, and it's what makes FBN so much fun to work on. It's what inspires our team is helping producers with those decisions. But, you know, now what we're starting to see is a lot of technologies coming together, things that had been more independent. So you take insurance or lending or finance or inputs. Those tend to be independent decisions that a grower had to make that working with a different party in each case, and maybe a technology, maybe not a technology. Well, now all those things can start coming together. So you can start making your seed and chem decision at the same time on the same platform. You can start managing risk at the same time you're doing lending. And so I'm very, very excited for how technology actually simplifies decision making on the farm, makes it easier, takes the months of office work that every farm's got to do every year, every winter, turns that into hours, and hopefully simplifies it and hopefully gives you as much predictability around the margin to expect as possible. And that's sort of the never-ending mission of what we're working on, and it's tremendously exciting. I think there's all kinds of new exciting things going on, and, you know, I'm very excited about our Enlist beans. That's giving people a new mode of action for herbicide-resistant weeds. With Paloma, that's our soybeans has been very popular this year. Very, very excited about what's being possible in sustainability. We've had a major partnership with ADM to enable farmers to use their data to get access to premium contracts, sustainability programs, carbon programs. That's through FBN Gradable. So now POET and ADM are on that program. So farmers can now start transacting through FBN. So that's tremendously exciting. The continued development of farm technology. I just think it will continue to bring advances for growers and simplify things. And that's where I think there's real quality of life improvements as well as financial improvements for the farm. And it's fun to work on.
Well, I'm sure, Charles, if growers want to learn more about all the things you guys are doing at FBN, they want to get some advice, they want to talk about things, I would think FBN.com, a great place to start, or contacting the local FBN representative, isn't it?
Yeah, that's always the best way to start, FBN.com, and come to Farmer to Farmer. You know, we have our giant conference every year. We brought it back this year for the first time since COVID. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's December 6th through 8th in Omaha. The whole FBN world will be there from around the U.S., all 50 states, Canada, Australia. It's really a lot of fun, so encourage everyone who's curious or wants to come out to Omaha December 6th through 8th.
Well, Charles, appreciate a few minutes of your time here at the Farm Progress Show. Thanks for having a conversation, catching up on all the things that FBN has going on, and enjoy the rest of the show, sir.
Great. Thank you.
And again, that was Charles Barron, co-founder of FBN from the Farm Progress Show. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now as we take a look at Thursday's market action, we welcome in Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. He's joining us here today. Brian, good afternoon to you, sir, and hopefully you're having a good holiday shortened week so far.
You know, we are, and the markets have been active, and there's been some opportunities here. So I think the overall trend of, let's say, uncertainty with the crop is providing support. But and we had some support yesterday with news in the wheat market and some remarks by President Putin of Russia that he wants to revisit these export corridors. Give the market a boost. Overall, things holding together relatively well. Dollar, remember, is in a big long uptrend, off a little bit today. But as we get closer and closer to harvest, or as it picks up steam, we're going to get a little bit more and more information daily, Jesse. And so far, I would say it's holding true so far that farmers are chopping corn or getting into the early corn. Their biggest issue is where it's dry. And so that'll, again, confirm that the yield is going to be down in corn.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and of course, coming up on Monday, we're going to start to maybe get a better idea from USDA what that yield estimate is. I think everyone in the trade, you know, it feels like we're maybe starting to mark time ahead of that WASD report on Monday. But on that corn side specifically, Brian, I think everyone expects the USDA corn yield to come down. I think the question is, how much is USDA willing to come down with this September number? I don't expect a huge drop. I wonder what your thoughts are, just looking at things here, looking at how things are shaping up, and maybe thinking historically as well with what USDA typically gives us.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. Historically, the USDA has a tendency to work toward a number rather than make drastic cuts 1 month to the next and all over the map. So I'm going to give them credit for that, which means that even if there is a growing belief that maybe the yield is under 170 or near that Pro Farmer 168 or 167 DTN digital tour, to drop from 175 and a half down to that level seems a lot. I like the idea that the corn market will work its way toward a number, and the USDA will likely come in around one, you know, my guess would be 173, 173 and a half. They've got plenty of time to continually adjust that downward if it's necessary or needed. We got to remember, we've had some, let's say, disruptive corn production since 2019, but there was a stretch for 7 years where the corn generally yielded better than expected every year. And so there is a bit of a history that, you know, making big cuts could be premature. And I think the USDA will keep that in mind. So there's two numbers. There's one, what the USDA will probably say. And then the second one is, what does the crop really look like? I still think there is an army of people that firmly believe, and I might be in that army, that the yield is well under 170, maybe 168. In line with Pro Farmer. Just too many problems from the get-go this year, and just too much feedback from customers that I think are realistic. They're not telling me just their low numbers so that when I get in the field, they feel a little better about it. They're just saying, hey, this is the way it is. This field is really good. This field down the road didn't get rain. I got tipped back. This got in late. Whatever. It doesn't quite have the right mix. And that coincides with the USDA's 19% rate at poor to very poor.
Well, Brian, to your thought, you know, thinking USDA probably going to come in with a 173.5 number on Monday. If we get that type of number, is that enough for us to at least hold this kind of support range around this 665, 675 mark? Or does it need to be a little bit lower than that to maybe hold this range?
Yeah, great question. I would be prepared for prices to kind of drift lower anyways. The old saying is the market doesn't need any news to go lower, but it needs some kind of news or perception to go higher or help somewhere else. The old saying is you have to feed the bull. So unless, you know, energy prices rebound real quick or wheat rallies up, you know, it is tough to get a rally and then continuous new buying. People who bought willing to buy again and then tomorrow buy again. That has to come on momentum. So I always call it PMA, perception, momentum, attitude. The market has to have the right perception. It has to have momentum. And then the attitude has to be, look, we're buying. It has to be bullish. And it's just tough to come by that in harvest when the end user is kind of stepping back at that point saying, well, I don't have to buy today, so I'll give it a week or I'll wait tomorrow and see what it looks like.
Well, Brian, over on the wheat side, I know you mentioned the comments from Russian President Vladimir Putin that came out. That really seemed to give us a pop in the wheat market, but then we kind of given that back through Thursday's trade, just kind of settling back into a range, it feels like. I know we have the high U.S. dollar, though, as well. I'd have to think that that's a weight over everything, but if you look at this wheat market, I don't know, I just felt like lack of news again on Thursday allowed us to kind of drift lower, Brian.
That's exactly what it was. You had a lack of news, lack of follow through, anything on these announcements or talks or rumors or whatever it is that came out yesterday. The market grabbed hold pretty hard and fast. And we talked with customers yesterday and said a lot of times you'll see that when you have this type of news, either there's a lot more that follows up or there's none. And if it's none, it's just kind of like hot air, let out of the balloon, the market drops back. The traders that bought take their money out of the market. And that's kind of where I think we're. So wheat's 15 lower Chicago today. I think we ended up, 25, 30 higher yesterday, but well off the high. So maybe net for the last 2 days, you've got some positive gain. You had a lot of technical buying yesterday. Prices pushed through a Bollinger Band. They pushed through what I call the neckline of an inverted head and shoulders formation. A lot of positive things. I think it created short covering, maybe new buying. But there again, we saw yesterday the market went up and it ran out of steam and then it started to drop back. And I often think the market participants will ask, well, what next? And if there isn't a next, they're pretty quick to run their stops up, which means if the market starts to drop back, they get their stop order trigger, which means they're a seller. So if they bought initially, they're exiting. If they think the market might tip over and the trend could turn down, they initiate a position. So you can get sell stops triggering two new types of selling, exiting and or entering.
I think as well, the wheat market, and this, you know, applies to all the grains, a little bit of harvest pressure maybe with spring wheat harvest starting up across the northern plains, North Dakota, Minnesota playing catch up, and then throw on top of that winter wheat planting getting ready to get going in parts of the southern plains. I would think some of that is maybe adding a little bit of just overall pressure in the wheat markets right now.
Well, I think it is, and we have to remember this too. When I look at Chicago wheat, I'll use that as my 850 a bushel. That's still historically a high price. That's for July of next year. That's with the market down today. So when you start talking $859 wheat, you got to think that there's going to be at least a temptation for farmers to plant the wheat. And if they can get at it soon enough in spring, maybe double crop that to soybeans. And, you know, we heard all that rhetoric when prices were high this last spring and early summer about the administration fostering and promoting double crop in those type areas. So there may be more wheat acres. I don't know a lot of the detail beyond that, but that was out there. I'm sure it's still out there. It's not frontline news.
Definitely. Let's talk soybeans, Brian. A lot swirling in this soy complex, I think, in general. I know earlier the week, the news out of Argentina, the 200 pesos to a dollar, trying to spur, you know, selling from Argentine farmers. That's been a weight on this bean market. On Thursday, though, soybeans held up, I thought, fairly well. But I know there's a lot of folks who are in the trade who are a little worried about the look of the soybean charts here this week. What are your thoughts in this soy complex as we get past Thursday's trade action?
I share the same concern on the trade charts. In fact, I'm looking at them right now, and we took out our previous dip low. We're still, in theory, in a consolidation pattern here. Nice close today to turn positive. The lower Bollinger Band held, but today's low took out the low from the middle of the month. So that takes us back toward the low, the 1st of August, about 1359 in that area there. So there's some definite downside potential. There's a gap that was left in July to around 1349 that prices could head to. The technical picture really looks bruised here, kind of hanging on by its fingernails. The reality is that the Pro Farmer Tour, boots on the ground now. Expectations are the USDA is going to be a little bit closer on this one, 51.5 to 52 bushels, which means adequate, not overburdensome, but adequate supplies moving into the fall window. So the bulls may be losing their grip. The Argentine news this week, I don't know how to read that because everybody knew they had beans. Now it's just pulling their beans out of their hand. Their farmers there holding beans as a hedge against inflation. But now these beans, in theory, were rumored quite a few sales already to China. So you kind of look at it, Northern Hemisphere supply to the world. It's just where is the supply? Unfortunately, with a dollar higher, it probably means our exports stay skimpy. And consequently, that's another thing that weighs on this market, part of the technical picture here.
And again, that's Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, joining us here today. We'll continue our conversation coming up after the break. A few of the closing numbers: December corn down 2.5, 668.5. November beans up 2.5, 1386. October bean meal down 590 a ton, 409.10. October bean oil up 136 points, 6504. December Chicago wheat 15.25 lower, 829. December KC wheat down 8.5 at 893. And spring wheat December down 1.75, 898.25. Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing is our guest here today on the show. Brian, let's talk livestock. Another Thursday of no weekly export sales overall. I know that's something that we're waiting to see if those do come back on the 15th as reported. But livestock trade, didn't feel like there was a whole lot of fresh news there either to move this market. We kind of just felt like we drifted in hogs and in the cattle trade on Thursday, Brian.
For sure. The market doesn't have one bit of information. It knows what the daily, weekly slaughters look like, and it knows kind of the big picture herd mentality. You've got your post-Labor Day here. Got a real nice uptrending market overall, or at least sideways trend. But I think the bigger problem with the cattle market and the hog market is just kind of the perceived world demand or the appetite for an inflationary environment when you've got the dollar racing like it has been here the last several weeks or months. So I think from a supply perspective, looking back at the last hogs and pigs report, looking back at the cattle on feed reports, it gets pretty easy to talk about tight supply. You still have to have somebody willing to buy it higher. And that's the same thing we talked about in corn. You can have this bullish setup, but at some point the bullish market just doesn't pan out because you have to have people buy it. And it gets to a point where the speculator says, well, if the consumer isn't going to buy, I'm not going to take the risk. And the consumer says, well, it's high on the speculator, so I'm not going to buy in the store. You know, and you get this sort of market like we have right now in cattle where, gosh, it looks like it could be a real special market. But it's just to put things in perspective, December cattle are trading at the same price they are today as they were in January. What is that, 9 months ago? Mm-hmm. I think that's a good summary. Same price.
Well, and one has to wonder to that point with cattle. I mean, maybe, you know, we keep thinking that it's going to be a special market, but one has to wonder, is this a top that nobody wants to, you know, necessarily – acknowledge here, maybe, or maybe there's just so much optimism in cattle that we think it's going to go higher, but maybe is this the plateau and we just can't break through it right now, Brian?
That's an excellent point. I had discussion with cattle producers today, and we really talked about, look, that the handwriting could be in the wall, that it just can't get through this, and we're all optimistic, and then it just dumps over. Worries about recession, worries about this, worries about that. And the next thing you know, that kind of that gut-wrenching feeling like we saw in early June where the entire commodity complex tipped over. So my encouragement has been for producers to start really thinking strategically fourth quarter, buy some puts of safety valves if you're willing to take the risk, try and finance them, or you might finance them, sell the calls above the market, and be willing to defend these prices. Don't get caught. We've all been there. You got a fundamental picture that's bullish. It's been trending higher or sideways or cattle holding up well. And then all of a sudden, a very short period of time, it just ends and crashes. And you look back with nothing but regret. Let's not have that regret.
Brian, how about that dairy market? Catch us up on what you're seeing there here in the last week or so.
We got record high butter prices, but you don't have record high cheese prices. And the cheese is the drag. Some of the producers are losing their premiums. The dairy market might be akin to watching paint dry the last couple of months, higher or lower, but not really going anywhere fast. Got the big spill with the rest of the commodity complex in the late June, July period. Recession concerns, dollar concerns, China concerns, just all wet rigs, you know, over the top of this cattle complex, the dairy market right now. Oceanic prices did show some improvement this week, and the board has too. It's rallied up a dollar, a little bit more than a dollar in some of the contracts, but it can't get the traction to get above this. So we're going to start getting a little bit more, let's call it progressive in talking to producers about defending this again. Markets that hold up and hold up and hold up, that's great. Hopefully they can get a springboard, pop it to where we think they can. But if they tip over the other way, it gets pretty ugly pretty fast. And that's what we want to be careful of now. Cattle, hogs, dairy, particularly cattle and dairy, just, you know, we don't need a three-week window where things get ugly. And then you look back and it's like, well, why didn't I? And why should I? And all of that. Really kind of take some time, talk to your advisor now, and make sure that you're kind of strategizing this out, making sure that you're going to buy puts and things, you're spending good money for the right purpose.
Well, Brian, fantastic stuff as always. Floor is yours for the final question. Anything else you want to mention today or reiterate for us?
Well, it's September 8th. USDA report is out Monday the 12th. So who knows? One of our colleagues said today, worked with them about 30 years, and he said, I always say the S is for surprise in USDA. I told him, you never said that before. But anyway, but he has a point. You know, be prepared was his point. You never know what might come out of a report. Data in is only as good as the data in, if that makes sense. So we'll go with that. Remember, we're pretty high priced for this time of year. So if you're behind or things are a little bit leery on, you know, whether you want to forward sell or you don't like basis, figure out a good strategy. Make sure you're balanced. It is really, really easy, Jesse, to have a bullish mindset. The Northern Hemisphere just didn't live up to crop expectations this year. So that means a lot of pointing toward the Southern Hemisphere to come through. Sure, Brazil looks like they're going to up their ante, but it also looks like this week there was talk of the La Nina pattern sticking around another month instead of dying down in December now into January. So you strap on your seatbelt, get ready.
Very true. Well, Brian, if folks need some advice, I know they can reach out to you and the folks there at Total Farm Marketing very easily. How can they do that?
Just give us a call, 800-334-9779. That's going to be your best bet to connect with us and go that route. If you want, shoot me an email. I'm a Brian with a Y, so B-R-Y-A-N at TotalFarmMarketing.com.
Well, fantastic. Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great rest of your week and weekend.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Same to you. Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for Market Talk today. Coming up tomorrow, Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing, and we'll look at cattle with Chris Swift of Swift Trading Company. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.